Welcome to the Point Forward podcast with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinels, J.R. Radcliffe and Jim Ozarski, an over-caffeinated Milwaukee Bucks conversation.
The Point Forward podcast, Milwaukee Bucks chatter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. How's everybody doing? I'm J.R. Radcliffe, host of the weekly show. And on the other line, or I shouldn't say on the other line, in the studio with me is Lori Nickel. She's the columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel sports department. She's around the Milwaukee Bucks all the time. Absent today is Jim Ozarski. Lori, I think his house is falling apart. Is that what you heard? Where's
underwater,
Jim?
I don't know. He's got plumbers coming over and he's fostering dogs and he's doing his thing. And so yeah. We miss him.
Yeah. Something. Shouts to Jim Ozarski. Something's going on with his house. We got like floorboards getting torn up and stuff. So hopefully he'll be back again very soon. The Milwaukee Bucks in much better shape than that. Although we have got to talk about this awful loss on Sunday in Houston. Since we last chatted, it was a good week. It was a good week for the Bucks. They won 3 of 4. They beat Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks, marking a season sweep, I believe. Now that I've said that, I'm not even sure off the top of my head if they won the first game, but I'm pretty sure they did. And Brook Lopez with a game-winning basket right before the buzzer on a great out-of-bounds play. Second time this year the Bucks have pulled off something like that. And they end up winning the game on the road. Very nice road win. And then two nights later, in Houston, against one of the worst teams in the Western Conference, the Bucks laid an egg. They end up losing the game 97-92. And to make matters worse, Chris Middleton leaving the game with a sprained ankle, left the game early. So Chris Middleton watches once again on. It doesn't sound like it's super, super serious or anything, but it doesn't sound like he's necessarily, you know, going to be back right away. I don't know. So, Lori, I know you just talked to Chris Middleton for a story that showed up at JS Online about Chris's passing. So I want to talk a lot about him today. But right off the top, just from the news gathering perspective, before we kind of dive in a little bit, what do you think of the injury here? I realize the injury that he had coming into the season was probably, he was probably out longer than he would have been normally because unfortunately his father passed away. So he was away from the team for a while and that kind of stretched out sort of his rehab and his return to normalcy. But now losing him again, I get the feeling the Bucks just don't want to rush anything. I'm wondering if they're gonna have Chris Middleton again before the end of the year now. Like what is your thought process on where they are with Chris Middleton?
I think it's a little bit concerning as well, but I guess I trust Mike Budenholzer quite a bit. And Sunday night he said that they're just being really kind of conservative and cautious with it, that it was a minor thing. That still doesn't necessarily mean anything reassuring. The Bucks are off today. There's no practice, so we aren't able to talk to them before the big game tomorrow. But so we don't have any update other than that. So there's two parts. Yes, it's concerning for sure, because Chris Middleton has been dealing with so many injuries since the playoffs of 2022. But it also, I like that Budenholzer is doing this, to be honest, because he's got his people. He's got his core team here. He needs to have them healthy and ready to go, you know, after the All-Star break, frankly. So if they're being really cautious or conservative, if they're taking advantage of, you know, the November home game stretch that they had and not playing certain guys, like I think that was also a factor with not playing Chris, is that they had so many home games, they knew they would get enough wins at that time without him. I think those are good things. You know, I'm always, as somebody, I've covered so many teams that were so good early on, from Brewers to Bucks to the Packers, you know, that get to the playoff stage, which is just such a grind, and they, if you're not healthy, forget it. You're just not going to be able to do it. So I like the approach, but, you know, we should put a little bit of a post-it note on there to keep an eye on how he's doing and how he's feeling throughout.
Yeah, I guess it's sort of what you said is right. And by the way, you mentioned this game tomorrow, that being Tuesday night, the Bucks against Golden State Warriors. That's going to be at Pfizer Forum. So obviously a high visibility game. You got Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, the whole clan. A lot of Wisconsin connections on there, which we've talked about before. Jordan Poole, Kevon Looney, Patrick Baldwin now, the Sussex Hamilton product, who is a rookie with that franchise. And Juan Toscano-Anderson. Like there's just a million Milwaukee connections. But I guess the frustration for a fan, like you're right. It isn't about what's happening during the regular season. It's about what happens at the end. And all these games, all these moments, we're going to forget all about them if things go differently in the postseason. You know, if Chris Middleton is healthy in the postseason, it will not occur to anybody that he was even out for any length of time during the regular season. Just as it won't occur to anybody that they lost a game in Houston. People who listen to this podcast know how upset I was a couple of years ago when they went down to Houston and laid an absolute egg against the worst team in the Western Conference at the time. And of course, it didn't matter one bit. They went on, they won the title. No one cares anymore. But it's hard in December to feel that way. You know, like, I know there's a bigger picture and I know that they want to be playing the long game. But, you know, losing a game like that just really feels out of character for them. And this is a team that could be battling, I think, pretty much neck and neck with Boston all year for the top seed in the Eastern Conference. I know they don't care about that as much as I do or as much as other fans do. But it's just... I don't know. I don't know what you chalk it up to. You say it's a bad night. Chris Middleton getting hurt certainly didn't help things. Seemed to throw them off a little bit. But these things, not having Middleton when you think maybe he could play, losing a game in Houston, these things are so frustrating to the average fan in the moment, even though I realize, you know, in March, no one's going to care. But I don't know. Like, how do you feel? How do you react when you see this stuff?
Are you frustrated? Because, I mean, Houston, first of all, was every other score was a dunk. It seemed like they're so young and so athletic. And they were playing with emotion.
For sure.
That you can't, you know, that you can't manufacture that when you lose, you know, Coach Silas. And then and it affects the franchise and the coaching staff and all that. I think that's part of it. But to me, if you're looking at it kind of objectively, and I wonder if this is what you saw, like the Bucks kind of looked a little bit, not flat, but they just couldn't match some of that intensity at times, that youthful exuberance, which that could be a factor for sure. But yeah, I wouldn't put too much into this game because of, you know, but it is actually, I'm one of those people who thinks it could be good for the Bucks long term, even if it was kind of difficult for you to watch them. And maybe it's because you were annoyed with kind of the energy that they brought. You know, they had plays on defense. They, you know, I mean, Giannis started out kind of early playing well, but then he had three turnovers and they weren't like, you know, offensive charge turnovers. They were, you know, it was a bad pass in, you know, traveling and stuff like that. So it was just a little bit of an off night, I think, for Milwaukee.
Yeah, those alley-oops at the end of the game.
But I think that's part of it. You know, one of the funny things, so a little bit of a story time. Back in the spring, I was talking to Mike Budenholzer about Chris Middleton, and I joked with him. I said, you know, after covering these guys for 9 years, I'm kind of like struggling to come up with new interesting feature ideas. And he's like, yeah, tell me about it. You know, so which is kind of a little bit of a revealing moment. How do you keep this team not only just focus, but like challenged? How do you keep them focused on the certain things that you're trying, the new wrinkles? And losses like last night can help with that. There's renewed purpose. They found out some things maybe about Grayson Allen last night and things that he needs to work on down the stretch, passing, you know, his timing on that dunk that he missed, things like that. Who can they rely on in the clutch? Who can they rely on the road? What kind of passing do they want to do? I mean, the Boston Celtics are my favorite passing team in the league just because they beat the defense with those, you know, multi-level 2, 3, 4 passes that are just so hard to stop. So games like this, I think Milwaukee can mine a lot from and get a lot of, hey, you need to work on this. Hey, you need to work on that. Even from the superstars on down, that can be very beneficial. And I think the staff is big enough and smart enough that they'll do that sort of thing. And you have the kind of players who want to work with that. You know, it's a blend now of some really older veterans with some younger guys. So I do think it could be beneficial long term for sure. That's overwhelmingly what I come away with a game like that.
And like you mentioned, the Rockets, Coach Steven Silas, his father, Paul Silas, of course, an NBA legend in his own right, had just passed away. The energy in the building was very much fired up for that game. It's their Super Bowl, you know, the Rockets playing a team like the Bucks and being able to beat them. And you're right. It's probably just a series of circumstances that are kind of makes this a one-off. And I mean, the Bucks had won, you know, the previous 4 in a row, including a game against the Hornets where they didn't play their top 3 players. So like that was sort of a borrowed victory. You can afford to give one back in theory. They're a game and a half behind Boston in the Eastern Conference. You mentioned this mix of veteran and younger guys. One of those guys, Marjon Beauchamp, we have not seen a lot from him in recent weeks, recent games, especially with Chris Middleton's return. That's not a surprise. I think anybody who saw this coming in could have anticipated that he would, you know, be worked in a little bit slowly, a little bit of a comes in with a reputation as a raw talent, but I think sort of surpassed those expectations initially. And you know, then he showed some rookie stuff like every rookie does, but you got a chance to talk to him. Now, he stands to gain, one would think, if Chris Middleton isn't going to be able to play for any length of time. And, you know, as we record this, who knows how long? It might only be a game or two. I don't even know. But Marjon Beauchamp does stand to maybe soak up some of those minutes. Give me some impressions. What your impression of him is, you know, that you got to talk to him, kind of some of the takeaways you had from that conversation. I know that'll all be up at jsonline.com at some point here in the next day. But give me some thoughts there.
Yeah, I think, first of all, I think he's been inactive for 7 games, and a couple of those were for the non-COVID illness, which has been going through rampant through your family and my family and the team. I mean, that's the most sick I've ever been, is being around this team. So some of that, he was dealing with that. And then, you know, but he has played so well early on. He's had 6 starts already that he got some of the biggest praise I've ever heard from Giannis Antetokounmpo about a young teammate. And I think that's because Giannis sees a lot of himself in Marjon. The story I did is actually kind of embarrassing. It's not any good. Read it, but don't read it. It's just, there's so much to this kid that it really deserves a magazine-length article. But basically, him and his father moved in the 8th grade to pursue better basketball opportunities in the Seattle area. They left Yakima, Washington, and went to Seattle. So 4 high schools in 4 years for this kid, including one in Arizona where he played for Dream City, which is one of these prep schools that travels all over the country. I mean, he's been living and acting like a pro long before the 22-year-old even got drafted by the Bucks this year. But what's really interesting, and the way I wrote the story, is that Giannis Antetokounmpo was just basically begging him, don't let that 20-point game on November 14th go to your head. Stay humble. And I started out the interview, you know, I've never met him before, and he's kind of a quiet guy. And so I sat down, I'm like, hi, so do you need to be more humble? You know, and he just looked at me. I can, maybe not an opening line if you want somebody to open up and talk to you. But he just smiled and looked at me, and he showed me a full-length tattoo on his leg. And what does it say? Be humble. And I'm like, oh, okay, here we go. This is going to be a good story. He was just leveled during the coronavirus pandemic. He elected to not go to college. He turned down a lot of Division I offers, including from his home state of Washington. And he tried this new program with a guy out in the on the West Coast in the Bay Area of San Francisco. And he was his first client, and the objective was to bypass college to train and get ready for the NBA draft. And then COVID hits. Marjon had no exposure whatsoever past prep school, and no NBA teams called, no draft, nothing. He had to go back home to Yakima Valley Junior College, and it set off a chain of events for him, including he developed pretty bad depression and anxiety. And when we got to this part of the conversation, I can't even explain. The amount of empathy I have for somebody who goes through something like this is enormous, because I've dealt with it as well since the pandemic. And I, for a young person of 21 years old to go through something like that, it really hit him. And he wanted to quit several times over. He didn't have a backup plan B, C, or D. It was basketball only. And think about it. He won a championship his freshman year, a championship his sophomore year. He's playing with all these, you know, Seattle or Washington basketball player of the year. He's doing all this stuff. And then everything falls apart, and he goes back home, and he's playing with his childhood friends at the local JUCO. It was really tough for him to take. What's interesting about this, if I could just real quick.
Yeah.
He went to the G League, and they had a therapist there, a counselor, and he did 2 things. He turned to his faith in God for him, and then he got counseling. And the amount of work that you have to put into this. Basketball is one thing, but to talk about how you feel, to open up about the anxiety, about these fears that you have. He told me it was hard to breathe sometimes, that pressure that he would feel in his chest. Well, you got to breathe when you play basketball. So I felt so much empathy for this young man and so much admiration for him dealing with this to this point that he worked past it. Obviously, he got some looks at the G League, and then he still sees the Milwaukee Bucks have their own therapist, counselor on staff, and he sees that counselor twice a week to this day. It's just an awesome lesson. And I went back to him later and I said, you know, I was so rude. I asked you all these personal questions, but I never said, is it okay if I go public with this? And he's like, yeah, because it might help somebody. And I'm like, it will. Somebody will see this and identify with it, and it'll be okay to get help. And that's obviously not his whole story, but it's a big part of how he overcame a year and a half of being, you know, kind of lost to being this contributor already as a rookie. It's a big part of who he is, and I think it's an admirable part of the story.
Covered prep sports for a long time. It's so often when a player goes to multiple schools during their journey, including the prep school, there's sort of this stigma of just being a malcontent, that either it's the kid or it's more likely family or whatever, that, you know, they just keep fishing around for the best possible situation and keep getting unhappy with what they found. What you're describing is obviously very different. And it's also a much harder path. You don't get a support system. You know, you don't build up relationships. And so consequently, if something crazy happens like the pandemic, or much more common, an injury of some kind, you don't have those people to go back to. You don't have, you know, you just don't have those teammates. You don't have those coaches. So it sounds like he was in a tough spot, needed to find some sort of community. And good for him. That's an awesome, really interesting story. And when it lands at jsonline.com, no matter what Lori says about it, you should definitely go read it. It's going to be very interesting. Really good insight into really the newest Milwaukee Buck, even if he is more, you know, the future of the franchise than the present. He's still going to get on the floor again, and hopefully he's healthy soon. I know Serge Ibaka was hit really bad with that same, or at least he was out for a while. I don't know the severity of it or anything, but I presume it wasn't right. Gentle, the illness. Okay, so let's go back a little bit in time this week, going back to this Bucks game over the Mavericks, where they win 106-105 at the buzzer. That game started at 9 o'clock. Friends, I was asleep. I didn't know anything about how that game ended until I woke up the next morning. I imagine I'm not alone. But Brook Lopez on a great out-of-bounds play scores. Brook Lopez, we've talked about him. I don't know if there's much more to say about how amazing he has been this season. I think he should absolutely merit all-star consideration this season. He has been everything they could have hoped for. I was looking back at his contract and had to laugh out loud, remembering that they signed him for $3+ million back in the 2018-2019 season, that one-year deal. Of course, he contributes then to a team that goes to the Eastern Conference Finals that season. He is in the last year of a four-year $13 million deal. That is also absolute theft. And the contributions he's giving this year, truly, truly sensational. I mean, he's one of a kind as a person. And you know that probably as well as anybody, having talked to him. What you see in press conferences, what you see on the floor, the sort of, well, I guess on the floor, he tends to complain about fouls quite a bit. But the personality you see from him, that's genuinely seemingly who he is, certainly who he is with reporters. I don't know if he's on this team next year. He'll be 35 years old. He's going to have to make more money than he made now, because he is a steal at $13.9 million that he's making this season. I don't know what happens next. I don't know if they change things to the point, because the fear coming into the year is they would change enough with their defense that Brook Lopez wouldn't be as valuable defensively. They wouldn't be doing as much drop defense while all he's doing is, like, he's the premier shot blocker in the NBA right now. Like, clearly he's not lost a step or not lost a role defensively. So I don't know what comes next for Brook Lopez. I don't know. I'd be curious to know what you think. Do you think he's here beyond this year? I mean, what do you think of, you know, the renaissance that we've seen here?
He's so different, because most athletes have to be very practical with this point in their career. When you're up for a contract extension, athletes will say, and I'm talking every pro sport that exists, athletes have to say, you know, yeah, I like it here, but I also want to see what else is out there. But I really remember Brook Lopez at the end of, again, the big pivotal year for this franchise was the end of the 2019 season where they lost to Toronto. Toronto ended up winning the NBA title. But Brooke was sitting – he was the last guy in the locker room. Everyone was leaving because everyone wanted to know, are you going to stay? What's your plan? And he had such an affinity for his teammates. He really loved the team chemistry in Milwaukee. And he was talking to us, and while he's talking to us, he's like, oh, that's John Horst calling me on the phone. Should I take this call? We were like, yeah, you know, he wanted to say the right things. He wanted to do the right things. He cares so much about this team. And that, to me, stands out about Brooke a little bit. And I don't know if he would be one of the rare unicorns out there who would pick to stay with a team that's a championship contender, that has a good locker room, and fits more his personality as opposed to going out and chasing more money or going somewhere else and starting all over again. You know, Brooke has reinvented himself as a player to become this three-point shooting ace. And this great shooting form that he has. And yes, he's your NBA leader in blocks right now with 2.9. So it's a really curious situation as well. We talked about this a couple of podcasts ago. How will he hold up over the course of the season with his back and everything? I think those, you know, that he's just shown his work ethic and everything. He's going to do everything he needs to do to take care of his body and his health. So I'm with you. I don't know what's going to happen with him, but I just know that he's not in it for just getting, you know, as much money as he can out of it. I think there's so many priorities for him. You know, he's sacrificed a lot of awards as well. Being on this team, when you're on a Giannis, Chris, and Drew team, you know, he should have been an all-star at some point when he was in Milwaukee. I asked him about that, and he's like, well, you know, it would have been nice, but he just doesn't let it consume him. He doesn't talk about it publicly, you know. So I get the feeling that his priorities are a little bit more wide-ranging and a little bit more substantive than just another big contract. But that's going to be a tough one. I don't know the salary cap information this year on the Bucks. That's where we're, you know, you can get Jim on all that. Can they even afford another expensive guy? With, you know, I don't know, but he loves it here. And Budenholzer, this is probably one of his favorite players too. So I don't know.
Yeah, the Bucks win that game 106-105. Oddly enough, that was Lopez's only field goal of the game. He only finished with 4 points, but that was a big one that swung the result one way or another. And then on the other end, Drew Holiday on Luka Doncic, who of course had another really nice game, 33 points. But I'm sure the Bucks felt like they limited him to some degree. 11 assists for Doncic, who of course is kind of in that MVP conversation right along. Giannis. This wasn't Giannis's best stretch of the year this week by any stretch of the imagination. Only had 16 points in that loss against Houston. Felt like wouldn't surprise me to see, maybe not this game against Golden State, wouldn't surprise me to see him take a day off. But of course, when we're talking about down performances from Giannis, we are talking about still very, very important contributions.
I was going to say, you know, I always laugh, and I'm laughing with you in a friendly yes. way, but I do get into this argument a lot with other NBA writers. Oh, Giannis isn't. Well, first, he had 8 games in a row of 30 points or more.
Oh, he was awesome after the ladder, yep.
You know, but even that, like, I would take a down day from Giannis any day because he's still such a contributor in so many ways, and his presence changes every defense out there, and it makes it different for the other players on the team. Just him being out there gives you a chance. He's so aggressive on even, you know, if his passes are off a little bit, it's rare. You know, our expectations and our standards for Giannis are so high. Someday I'm going to do that story. You know, it was like that with Brett Favre. It was like that with Christian Yelich. It was like that with Aaron Rodgers. And it's getting to be like that with Giannis. If he's not perfect or, you know, unbelievable every night, it's an off night. And I just kind of laugh. And again, I know what you're saying 100%, but for me, I've seen some bad sports and bad performances in my lifetime, and he's still nowhere close to being anywhere like average.
Bucks again play Golden State on Tuesday. They go to Memphis a couple days after that, and then they're back at home to face the Jazz on Saturday, then out to New Orleans for Monday. The Pelicans, very, very good this year. The Western Conference, Laurie, I don't know if you've looked at it. It's crazy. You know, Memphis, this is a very brutal stretch because Memphis and New Orleans are, at least last I checked, I haven't looked yet today. I should do that. The two best teams in the Western Conference. Like, it's a crazy, you know, the smaller markets have risen up and taking control here because you got Celtics, of course, are not in that conversation, but then the Bucks followed by the Cavaliers in the Eastern Conference, and in the West, Pelicans, Grizzlies, Denver Nuggets right there. The Suns are there. The Kings have really risen up. So the Bucks win earlier this week against Sacramento. Certainly nothing to sneeze at. This is a very different Western Conference than what we're used to. I mean, teams right now, the Jazz, Mavericks, Lakers, Spurs, all would be out of the postseason. Of course, Spurs have been down a little bit lately, but last couple of years. But this is still a very topsy-turvy looking league. So there's some cool games coming up. Real quickly, there was some, again, more trade conversation. Jay Crowder is perpetually in the background here, and Cam Reddish, New York Knicks player, is another guy whose name has been bandied about. I don't think really anything too substantive there with relation to the Milwaukee Bucks, but that's still a possibility. You know, you saw Grayson have some struggles there down the stretch against Houston, and yeah, he's not a perfect player, and I still think there's probably an internal conversation, if I had to guess, versus what's good for this team overall versus what's good for this team in the playoffs. And if moving on from Grayson Allen, because he is their most attractive trade chip, to get one of these other people for the postseason rotation, I imagine that's still something that they're considering. The more I watch Grayson play overall, the less interested I would be necessarily in seeing a major roster shift. I'm also fascinated to see what happens when Joe Ingles comes back. Of course, I don't think he'll be back by Saturday to face his old team, the Jazz, but we're getting closer. There's a lot of rumblings about him being ready to go sooner rather than later, you know, maybe by Christmas or something along those lines. So I'd love to see what the team looks like with Joe Ingles. I think that's a major, major element. I don't know if I expect this team anymore to make a big trade, but I'm sure they're always listening. Have you paid attention to any of the rumors, and what do you think makes sense for the Bucks?
Well, no. I don't like the rumors thing. I'd rather, but I'll say this: Grayson Allen is a really good pure shooter. He had a couple of good games in the Bulls series, I believe, with the playoffs, if that memory serves.
Absolutely, yep.
And I think this team needs somebody like that who is just a spot-up shooter or a shooter under pressure. Or that. I think that's okay. So I can't wait to see Joe Ingles. And I also – my approach to this West Coast thing here is I can't wait to learn more about all of it. I come with it kind of with an open mind. So, but I don't know where, you know, the rumors and things like that, I don't follow it that much because it just, I'd never see it come to fruition. So it's a good talk for fans and things like that, but I don't get into that. Jim is, our beat writer covers all of it.
Yeah. And Jim Ozarski will be back with us here soon. I don't know if I see the trades anymore. For a while, a few weeks ago, when Jay Crowder's name was going around, I thought, yeah, that's probably what they'll do. But it hasn't happened yet. A lot of financial machinations to consider, and
there's time. We have till February 9th.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I just think this is their team. Like, it really feels like this is the team. Yeah. And I look at this team, and I think even with the loss of the Rockets, this is a championship caliber team, 100%. I mean, that's not a secret. I'm not saying anything nobody doesn't already know, but like this team is special. They're really, really impressive. And it seems like in crunch time, they find a way to win, which I wouldn't necessarily say even about some of the best Bucks teams, that they just have that killer knack right now. Again, we're just coming off that Houston game where the opposite was true, but man, they look so good. 19-7. I feel like they're probably right where they're supposed to be. I don't feel like they've played over their head necessarily. I think that's just, in fact, there's probably some room to get better with Middleton not being quite at full capacity yet. So this is a really exciting team. And I think I would be shocked if they don't go to the Eastern Conference Finals and probably against Boston. I think it'd be a massive disappointment at this point. And quite honestly, probably still a disappointment if they don't go through to the finals. But bare minimum, this is a team that should be in the ECF. They look so good to me. I don't know if you feel like I'm overrating them or what.
No, I think that's kind of the consensus around here. There's still kind of the small market bias so that you may not see the attention that you would expect, you know, like from a national media perspective. But I think, you know, like Pat Connaughton's probably not playing at the level that he's used to right now.
Oh, that's true for sure.
Carter, he's just such a fun, we all love him on defense. He can light it up. I mean, there's enough. And, I always like teams that have somebody like George Hill on the team, whether we see his contributions or not all the time, the veteran leadership and the perspective that he brings. I think the blend of this roster is just really, really good. And but the question is, and like I go back to that Houston game, finding little ways to keep them focused and motivated, and because it is such a grind. I mean, we're still looking at 5 months of the playoffs. It's the longest season ever. So yes, they're good. Now those big three need to stay healthy, though. That's the number one priority and the number one challenge for the staff. And I really like how Budenholzer has been giving some guys just a whole game off, just a rest here and there. Doesn't need a ton of explanation or excuse. It seems like good management to me.
That should do it for this edition of the Point Forward podcast. Again, Milwaukee Bucks, Golden State Warriors Tuesday night. That's going to be a very, very fun game. I imagine a lot of people will be tuning in to see that. Maybe it'll be similar to the Lakers game. The sort of two titans, even if the Warriors aren't necessarily near the top of the standings right now, maybe you see everybody step up and you get a pretty good back and forth going like we did when the Lakers were in Pfizer Forum. So that is coming up this week. We will catch you again next week. Jim Ozarski will be back. Lori, any last thoughts before I let you go?
I'm just, again, thank you for being patient with me. I'm new and learning podcasts. I just cranked out Marjan story like 20 minutes ago. So I will get better, I promise.
You are perfectly fine, and we look forward to future podcast endeavors. Thanks for listening to the Point Forward podcast. Find us in the usual places, Stitcher, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Let us know what you think. I'm at JR Radcliffe on Twitter. You can find Lori on Twitter at Lori Nickel, right? That's the that's the spot, at Jim Ozarski. If you're looking for Jim, he, of course, will be at all these Bucks games coming up this week. We'll catch you again very soon. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Point Forward podcast, a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and JSOnline.com production.